This is the Unpopular Podcast. Josh Withers here, your host, and I'm actually sitting in a fancy Duvy studio with my mate Luke. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Josh. How are you?
Good, mate. Introduce yourself to the world. What makes you unpopular?
I work for free. That's what makes me... It's funny because I would have thought that working for free would make me very popular, but it's had the opposite effect, but I love it.
You've got to value yourself, mate. Yeah.
Well, I find ways. So my business is Doc Media, which is working in the media world, but part of that is we do content creation. So we have the Luke and Susie radio show, which is networked in most cases free to 18 different stations as we speak, just with some sponsorship time that we sell. The reason why free makes us unpopular, and I say that tongue in cheek, is that it's harder to control the person you don't pay.
Yeah.
It is. You feel like you've got ownership and a say over someone who actually pay money.
That's what money does. Money says there's things that you have that I value, and I'm going to pay you for them. And sometimes you're paying so I can control you. Yeah. In my world, I like to tell people that I give an F. I'm paid to do that. I'm paid to care.
Yeah. So yeah. Exactly. So we do the content side with Luke and Susie, and we do coaching and training. So I teach people about this whole radio and media game, and I love being able to invest in people to chase a dream. So what I found is that there's a whole lot of people who don't go into radio and don't host a podcast and don't do all this stuff because they don't know that they've got what it takes.
Yeah,
or they feel like they question themselves and they're uncertain. Or, like me when I got into radio, there was no one there to teach me. I walked in and nobody could tell me anything above where I was at. And I had to just try and learn this gig by myself, and I'm passionate about not having people go through it alone.
Man, I was so lucky that I Stan Hillard, I mentioned him in your podcast, this guy at the community radio station just like taught me things.
Yeah.
How good is it to have some of the teachers you things?
Absolutely. To have someone who is not only teaching you stuff but is invested in you learning. Because radio, if you're in it, you know, and if you're not, you might not realize, it's basically big corporate culture without anybody having any cash. Like, it's cutthroat. People don't go on holidays because if they go on holidays, they come back and somebody else has taken their job.
Oh.
They don't tell everybody everything they do in their job because they have to keep something a secret to make it feel like they're indispensable. Like, it's this corporate culture that is so anti free information, and which is not my personality at all.
There's literally a gag in the radio industry. Tell me if it's come past your desk before, but the whole, like, don't get a pool.
Do you know?
So there was a cartoon strip, there was a radio cartoon strip that went around, this is like late 90s, early 2000s, and the joke was, if you got a pool, that means you're about to get fired. So the comic strip was be like, you know, like the jock comes to work and he's so excited, yeah, it's got a pool installed. They're like, you got a pool, don't tell anyone. Like, why wouldn't I tell anyone I got a pool? Because once you get a pool, they fire you.
It's like that. So we do the content creating, we do the coaching and mentoring, and then the third part of what we do is called connection marketing. And a big part of that is engaging, both using content, but I guess every lesson that I learned from radio when it comes to business marketing. So this is the thing, and you would have experienced this.
Yep.
When you do a radio show, you're an announcer, and sometimes you can be a bad announcer and have 5 or 6 or 10 people call you to change their entire routine in the morning just to tell you what they think about a subject.
Yeah.
And I stopped to think about it as a business person and go, so much of what we do in business advertising, we're desperately trying to get people to change their behavior to give us a call, and we can't do it. We have no leads for weeks.
Yep.
And yet, as a no-hoper, solo, community radio announcer, you can have 20 people. You go, well, what are the skills that we implemented there to change people's behavior? And it was a skill set we learned as announcers that has been engaged with. And number one thing is about with connection, with genuine relationship, people actually reach out and want to engage. So a part of the marketing strategy is, as a business, fight hard to get to know who your potential client is and care about them. And part of that is competitions and mental, but and fun, engage, and information, and give yourself away, and they're going to want to hang out with you. That's, I guess, the connection marketing arm.
Gary Vaynerchuk talks about attention being a commodity today, which is definitely the truth. But true and good, and I don't want to use the word profitable in a business sense to put dollars on attention, but profitable attention is when, not just when I get your attention, like if I yell out, hey, across the street, and I get your attention, that's not profitable. Yeah. But when I go, hey, and then you cross the street, and we have a chat, and maybe we become friends, and et cetera.
Yeah.
That's like to get someone's attention is amazing. Well,
and he in another one of his things, he talks about one is greater than zero. And it's this reminder that sometimes you can do, and he was talking about doing the little videos and, you know, getting interviewed on a show that has like six viewers versus the NBC.
Is that why you're on this one today?
Yeah, exactly right. but he said, like, you know, the one is greater than zero in the sense that sometimes the smaller can be, it might only be one person, but it might be the right person that you need. Yeah. And when you show that you care about people more than you care about the big numbers, it makes a difference.
Yep.
It's a big thing.
In the world of media and just because it's such a big word today, it means everything in between.
YouTube, and nothing at exactly the same time.
Yeah. How do you and Susie make yourselves unpopular? Like, how do you kind of furrow down into that niche?
Yeah, one of the things that, so when we talk about on our radio show, it's faith, family, culture, and for us, we kind of went, what do we want to? What's important to us first and foremost? If we're going to do this, and you work hard when you start a business,
yeah,
and you work hard when you're breaking ground, and you're doing things that nobody else is doing, what is important to us? And we sat down and wrote out a whole bunch of core values, and some of those core values basically led us to a decision: we do not have an hourly rate. Someone goes, oh, how much per hour to get you to come and do that? I said, I don't have an hourly rate. Now, of course, in reality, if you take the amount of time I work divided by, you know, the money divided by the amount, but I don't sort of quote anybody. If you want me for 8 hours, it's going to cost, you know, 8 times 100 or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Because right from the word go, and this ticked some people off because I wouldn't give them an hourly rate. I said, no, let's talk about partnership. Let's talk about what you need and what I need, and let's talk about how we can actually work together with common interests. And I'll quote you, absolutely, but I'm not going to just give you an hourly rate. And so I built the business on a concept to go, if I say this is what the partnership looks like, and that quote, for example, is $2,000, and I find a way to be more efficient and get it done in less hours, then good on me.
Yeah.
If it takes longer than I thought and it takes me twice as long, then great. It means that the people I'm working for know I'm invested. And it's partnership. And so refusing to quote an hourly rate has made me very unpopular at times. And it's literally had people almost hang up on me. I'm going, I'm sorry, but let's have a coffee and chat about what you need and let's see if I can sort it out. That's one of the things. So we talked about faith, family, culture, what we wanted from it, and what we didn't want is a job. What we wanted is the ability to say, we want to make a living, but at the same time, we want to make a connection and a difference. Our listeners matter to us more than anybody else. And so we can have stations who are invested, and they're a key partnership and relationship we have, and they're important. But number one of our focus is, are we getting our listeners communicate with us, and what are they saying? And that's going to drive and dictate so much of what we do. And there are times we've gotten into trouble for asking a question such as, are women better drivers than men? But someone wrote to us and they wanted help with this. Somebody else said, how do you know if you've run out of invisible ink? Some of them are utterly ridiculous what they write to us about, but they feel like they're a part of our show because, you know what? We do it.
We
talk about it and we engage with it. And some of it's serious. And one of it was, how do you deal with an interfering mother-in-law? Big. How's that for a big topic, right? others are brain dead ridiculous things. We did a thing on our show, which was, if you could eat a movie star, which movie star would you eat and why?
Oh gosh!
And I know that sounds really odd, but we had a listener text our show, and the text we got was, "I ate a movie star," and I'm like, that is the weirdest text I've ever got in any context. Surely it's a typo. I saw a movie star, maybe. But no, when we call him. He goes, no, I ate a movie star. And it was from, what was the movie? It was a movie made in Australia. It was Farm Animals. And one of the sheep in the movie, like they actually bought and ate lamb chops.
That's great.
So he made the
statement, I want to do that.
I ate a movie star. And so we then went, well, if you could eat a movie star would you eat and why? It's ridiculous. But sometimes when people are having a stressful day, we want to just have the freedom to laugh at life. And so that's what matters to us. And sometimes it doesn't fit the normal corporate mode of how we run a business. But yeah, we make money from talking about eating movie stars.
What you do for your, I suppose, I was going to say bread and butter, but like what your main thing you do is what so many people that listen to the show do as an aside, because their main thing is, say, being a photographer or being a, just a service provider, whether it's plumber, celebrant, whatever. And then as an aside to that, they've read the blogs, they've listened to the podcast, like, I've got to create content, I've got to be on Instagram, or I've got to be on Facebook, I've got to be on Snapchat, I've got to be on whatever thing fits that mold today. I've got to be creating content. I've even heard the word content and I don't know what it means, and people say the content is king, and I didn't think we had a king, I thought we had a prime minister. And so I don't want to fall down the rabbit hole that is creating content, because A, it's a valuable service that people should hire you or other trainer, like they should get training on, they should invest money into. But on an off conversation, what's your encouragement to people that aren't content creators like you and I are naturally, but they feel this either this need or even just this desire, like, I want to do stuff on Instagram. So what's your inspiration to people that need to create content and perhaps they're not that good at it?
I think you mentioned the statement that we hear so much. In radio, we heard it. It was drilled into us right from the word go. And in social media, it continues. And in blogging, it continues. Content is king. And I think that is the biggest mistake we've ever believed.
Is it a queen?
Content. I'll get to that in a second. Content, this is what I teach in radio. Content is not king. Connection is king.
Yep.
Content is our number one tool. But with connection comes an opportunity for influence. And with an opportunity for influence comes the ability to culture shift and to behavior change. So if you're a business and you want someone to buy your stuff, they're not buying your stuff until they believe you, until they trust you, until they in some way like you. Now, that might happen in a matter of seconds, but usually it doesn't. And with your focus being on connection, tell me if you've ever had a friend start a business and you've gone, well, I'm going to buy something just because they're my friend.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to make a transaction with someone you like. Whereas if you don't know if you like them or trust them, you'll think twice about a good deal. So if our focus is on our content, we're going to miss a beat. Our focus needs to be on connection. In a social media, someone rephrased the statement like this. If content is king, then engagement is queen, and she wears the pants in the family. And true, I just said, for me, that's it. I go, we've got to stop looking at content as the number one role. So my business, Doc Media, the DOC stands for Director of Connection. And when I was a content director for a radio station, we changed the title because we went, in the end, and I thought about it like this. If I'm having a bad day, if my cat's died, that might not be a bad day because I don't like cats. But if something bad happened, if I'm sick and if I'm tired and I want to think about what's the least amount I have to do at work today before I can go home and feel like I've still done my job. And if I'm the content director, make the right amount of content and go home. There is no dictation in my job title about what impact that content has. If I just create and direct the content, my job is done. Whereas when I became the director of connection, then my number one thing to do, the minimum amount of work to do, is build and deepen relationship with people. That's when I go home and my job is done. That's a whole lot more profound, and that has a huge impact. When you go from, we took a station from a couple hundred thousand listeners to what is now over a million listeners, and the foundation for it was, number one, our listeners.
Yeah.
Before sponsors, before the corporate side, it was number one was our listeners and connecting with them on a deep level. And I think so. When it comes, there's lots of tools to do content creation free and easy. You don't have to get it perfect. Stop trying to get the perfect thing. Just communicate with your listeners. And if they are on Instagram, chat to them on Instagram. Cool. And respond. This is the interesting thing with social media. We post. This is the monologue versus the dialogue. We post and then we walk away. Well, if they respond to you, write back. And then they write back and then you write back. And then it's amazing what happens when you actually just have a dialogue rather than monologue.
How does a local business who's really good, like I said plumber before, so I'll stick with plumber. How does a plumber who's like really good at plumbing and knowing things. I'm obviously not a good plumber, but he knows all about the plums and the plumbers and whatever it is that they do. I have no idea what
they do. His pants go below the bum crack.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah. He's really good at that. But he doesn't have this mindset. Because you said listeners a few times because you're often talking about radio.
Yes.
But listeners, that word easily transposes to just people, humans, that are somehow in this realm that can hear your voice.
Yeah.
That is, they follow
you on
Facebook.
Tribe. You big Seth Godin tribes.
Yeah, exactly. So, how do businesses that are, they're really good at plumbing, but they don't even have the mindset of, there is a tribe, I have a tribe, or could I have a tribe? Yeah. Like, how do you kind of transition into that? It's almost like you're starting to become a radio announcer, but you're staying a plumber.
You've got skill sets. You've got things in your business that you're really good at, right?
Hmm.
And when you find that there's something in your business that you're not really good at, you contract or you employ.
I'll just
or
keep
you
on
outsource.
Stuffing it up until, just but keep on hammering away.
But if all you're ever trying to do is make yourself fit the technology and fit the tools and fit the methodology, then it's never going to work. The only thing I say that you have to do by yourself is you have to get yourself into the headspace that the community or potential community matter, that giving them time is important.
Yep.
Now, how to click Facebook Live and how to set that up and what you're supposed to say when you're on it, get somebody else to help you with that. And if it's a consultant or if it's a coach or if it's and a part of what we're doing in Connection Marketing is creating a club where I go, okay, I can help you book a great campaign that's going to get leads come in and it's going to engage you in media. But before you actually do all that, you actually have to go, well, how am I ready to be able to respond to those people who write to us? Can I get back to them? What are the systems that I have in place that can enable me to do that? And so we're creating a community of people to be able to help each other with that process. If you can't do it and you don't know how to do it, find someone in your world and sphere who'll be a part of working with you on that. If you're a plumber and you've got a daughter who is huge on Facebook, in fact, you're yelling at her, go, get off that stupid Foosbook, whatever it is, then go, instead of actually yelling at her, get off Foosbook,
great video, by the way.
How about I let you use Foosbook, but I'll pay you $50 to help me. How is that tool going to help me connect with people who might need plumbing help?
Yeah, yeah.
And give yourself away. And this is, I said at the start, I'm unpopular because we give ourselves away free. Of course, there's a business model behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the bare essentials, our show, it solves a problem. It fills a need. The stations that air us because, oh my gosh, it's good content that's free, which then gives us traction and a community. If we didn't solve a problem, because we had a whole lot of people come to us, because we did this, we've got 18 stations on the network, and we haven't actually marketed the show available. Somebody else has sent emails around for us, but we never drove that. And people came up and went, I've been trying to do this for years. Like, how did you do it? And I said, well, we solved a problem. Some people had a drive announcer that quit and they didn't have money to replace them.
Yep.
And then suddenly Luke and Susie was there free, solved a problem. But we gave ourselves the ability to do that. And if you're a plumber, there's a whole lot of people that are desperate to do the plumbing work themselves. Give yourself away for free to help them do a little bit. They're going to discover they can't do it, and they're going to book you because you've been helping them through the process. It's kind of, I don't know if that made sense or answered the question.
No, it totally does. Yeah. And which is a great segue into me attempting just, and I always step into this part of the podcast a little bit stressed because you and I haven't talked about, like, you know what I'm going to ask, but we haven't prepped. So I could just go cold and I'll just end the podcast really quickly. Be like, just a short 20-minute one today. Yeah. But I'd like to try and solve a problem because a big part of the unpopular, the business program they do, the coaching, all that is about trying to lubricate little bits of the business because that's much more accessible than we could come in here and just completely retrofit your whole studio with new software and automate everything, but in reality it's not going to happen tomorrow. But what we could do is maybe lubricate a small little part so that eventually we've lubricated a few things and your life is a little bit easier, so that as an unpopular business you're not stressing about so many, you're not stressing about 10 things now, you're stressing about 9 things, and it becomes 8 and 7 and 6, and hopefully at the end you're not stressing about anything. So what's something in your business that we could try and lubricate, something we can try and automate?
Oh, see, I'm huge and passionate about this because, like you, well, there's not enough of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if I'm relying on myself to hire another me, then I'm really hard to replicate because I'm pretty darn amazing. Now, it's we just can't afford it. And in reality, the things that are consistent behavior, I'm really bad at.
Yeah.
But computers are really good at.
Yep.
And so there's so many different areas in my business. One of the simplest things that I did, which saved me so much time and created consistent, accurate delivery. You can see my computer screen. I'm going to bring it up here.
Please tell me it's like an anniversary reminder.
I need to do that, but no. This is so part of what I need to do is I need to send our audio files to radio stations who have very different needs for what those files should be called.
Yep, because every radio station has a different playout software. Yep. Playout software is kind of like your Winamp or your iTunes, yep. but more.
Yeah,
more.
That's right, designed for radio. And they've all got different needs on how they interact with the world. And so I found myself now with 18 stations having to call probably about 16 different file names. And I was looking at all the different ways that I could not have to manually do 18 different files per day, 90 per week, manually changing file names and then sending them off to the stations. In the end, what I did was I got onto Upwork, which is the old Elance and one of the...
It's a marketplace for hiring individuals for gigs or per hour, and so they'll do nerdy technical kind of things to... Maybe it's as big as programming a massive website, or maybe it's just a really small macro in an Excel spreadsheet.
And look, before you go and do one of those, it can be hit and miss. You have to be aware.
I've actually had only misses so far.
Well, this is the biggest hit I've ever had. I went to and put up there for text for programmers and go, I need a piece of software that is, because it's very custom what I need, that can do this. I put in one set of 18 files and it spits out 18 different versions of them, all named accurately. And, you know, I need to be able to do it very, very simply. And I expected him to come back with this elaborate custom program that's going to cost me like $1,500.
Yeah.
Instead, he came up with an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
That cost me $35.
Wow.
For him to write little code in the back of it, and you can see it here in front of me. I've got one column here, which is the source column, which says these are the files that I've created. And then I have every other column is the output file name and the output destination at the top of it. So all I need to do, if I add a new station, I paste a new Dropbox folder to one thing and then the file name convention to the rest of the column, and in my cell A1 I hit do job and it just and within 35 seconds it sent out 18 versions of 18 files like that.
Excel, or Microsoft Excel, for those that aren't directly familiar with it, is something I haven't used it in so long, but when I was a much younger boy, I lived inside Excel. Actually, my parents ran two different businesses at two different times. My dad was a bricklayer, and then he's always been a bricklayer. But after that, they bought a motel, and they didn't have any software to run it at the time. So I made an Excel spreadsheet for the bookings and for availability and forecasting revenue and that kind of thing. Excel's actually amazingly powerful.
Well, see, I've used. I'm a formula nerd. It's what I just love doing it, Excel formulas. But I had no idea it had this sort of capacity of file conversion outputs and these macro codes that he's written behind it. What I love about this is because this is why this tool is great for me, because he's set it up and designed it in such a way that I don't need him to add a new station or to take an old station away or to edit anything.
That's actually amazingly powerful because that's something that I always think about when I'm helping people with automations. I don't. Because one business model is that, look, I'm going to hook Luke in here and I'm going to get him for $100 a month for the rest of his life. And
yes.
Which is a very fine, well, heck, it's what Unpopular runs on.
Yes.
So it's a good business model. But I didn't want to be beholden to other people like that.
Yeah, exactly right. And so for me, this gives me complete freedom to continue to do what I do. And I've gone back to him once because I wanted a modification because I had a new need.
That's great.
And it was another $15 or whatever it was. And no,
gosh, what a guy.
No problem. And he's just a guy sitting in, I think it was Serbia, that he coded an Excel spreadsheet for me. It was the best little tool that I've added. But there's so many different automations that I have. I use Dropbox for my file transfer, and some engineers in the radio world that you were a part of almost have heart attacks and coronaries because everything that any radio person has ever designed or ever used breaks all the time when it comes to the file transfer. Dropbox just works. And I know we can talk about security hacks, but if someone wants to security hack a 3 minute talk about how do you know if you've run out of invisible ink, then more power to them.
I think I just heard a challenge post.
The moment I have an issue, we'll think twice about it. But for now, it's free and it works.
Okay, so you haven't posed an exact problem yet.
Okay, but, all right, I need a problem. Pose one for me.
So I wasn't going to so much pose one. Have you heard of Zapier?
I use it.
You do use it, yes. Okay. Well, because I've been doing a few tutorials on Zapier recently, and so Zapier is something I can talk about. What about, have you used, are you an iPhone, iPad guy?
I am an iPhone, iPad
Have you
guy.
Seen Workflow?
I haven't seen Workflow, it intrigues me.
Here we go. Okay, so this is perfect. We're in a radio studio. You work in radio. This is for you.
Yep, cool.
So I'm going to put down my laptop here so I can actually show you Workflow.
Yep.
Workflow is it's an iOS app. So I know for my Android friends that there's not a direct Android equivalent, but I know that there's it's got brothers in Android world, because Android's a lot more, you can get a bit more nerdy, a bit more Android has more open faces to the general public, so there's tools that are a little bit more nerdier. Workflow is very drag and drop, very simple. So Workflow, if you get onto the iOS App Store and search for Workflow, it's the blocky W app, and you'll download it. I think it's about $5 or $6. It's an expensive app, but this thing...
Isn't it funny? $5 or $6, that's really expensive.
I know. Dude, do you remember buying software back in the 90s? And it'd be like $500 for Microsoft Office for a cheap one.
Well, think about CoolEdit. Oh, CoolEdit Pro. What was that? Would we buy that from memory about $1,500?
Who was that guy that everyone had the CoolEdit license code for?
He
was the composer guy.
I only ever used. Didn't use. I did see a few knockoffs in my time. It was quite interesting because I went through a conviction I had where my wife, my fiance at the time, saw that my entire computer was pirated. I mean, even Windows, nothing was legal. And she went, "Is that really the sort of person that you actually are choosing to be?"
Yep, yep. I love it.
What a question. And so I wiped everything and bought all the new programs and put it all back on legally.
Look at you. You know what? I also currently own all my software because I'm a big boy. But back in the day when we had nothing.
Well, business models have made it more, think about iTunes itself and buying a song for $1.69 versus having to buy a CD for $30.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that changed.
Creative for Adobe Creative, being able to subscribe on a monthly thing rather than have to find $2,000 to have Photoshop. Yeah, they make it more accessible to us to have these tools.
So Workflow is an app that allows you to essentially make your own little computer programs on the iPhone or iPad.
Right.
So a few examples of ones that I already have running is I've got one. It's called Homeward Bound SMS is what it's called.
Yeah.
I go play, and it gets my current GPS address, and then it knows where I live. It gets the general driving route home. So it's not as the bird flies, it gets the actual driving directions. And then from the driving directions, it says, well, this is how long it'll be. And it does a text message where it says, "Hi, Bubba, I'll be home in 28 minutes from home."
Oi!
So it's a little programming thing. And another one that I've done, actually it's on my iPad, it's not here, but every time I meet with a couple to do their legal stuff, there's a PDF I need to send them. And so with this, actually I have got it here. I do this and it asks for their email address. And when it asks for their email address, it then downloads the file from Dropbox, attaches it to an email, writes the email for me, and then sends them the email with the PDF attached. So it's a little mini programming language that essentially makes an email, has the attachment there. So I'm showing Luke what Workflow here. The one I'm going to teach you is, I've actually just published this tutorial on my unpopular.education website, and the idea I had was that sometimes when you're, not necessarily when you're driving because you shouldn't be using your phone, but if you're out and about and you get an email and it needs a wordier reply, and you need to reply now, but you're not going to bump it out on your phone because your hands, your big fingers, whatever it might be, or maybe it needs a more articulated response. So you want to be able to talk it through, and you want to send them a voicemail. They're not available to talk on the phone, or maybe you need a recording of it. So essentially, you want to send an MP3 to someone. So sending an MP3 is okay. You can get a voice memos and record it, but then it's attached as a file. And so sometimes if they're going to download the file, there's lots of problems with attaching big media items to an email. You want your email to be light, not have big attachments. So I thought, how do I record something, upload it to Dropbox, get the share link and make it a short link and then be able to just send it to someone. So in workflow, I did that. So I'm going to show you how I do it and then I'll make it for you. So I've called it send voicemail. It comes up to the tap to start recording thing. I start recording and I'm currently recording a little voice memo. I just talk and I can talk as long as I want. Tap to finish recording. It then uploads it to Dropbox.
Yep.
It's currently uploading that to Dropbox. It gets the Dropbox link and it copies that link to the clipboard. And now I can open the email and reply with the link, or I can send a text message on Facebook wherever I want it
to go. Okay, so email it to me.
So with this, I will go email to... let's see if you're in my iPhone address book. Luke.
Oh, this is a big test of our friendship, isn't it?
Mate, Luke. Hey, oh, okay. Look at this.
It's the old one?
Okay, so I've got three email addresses for Luke Holt. Luke.Holt@Facebook.com, Luke.Holt@LightFM.com.au, Luke.Holt@Juice1073.com.au.
Yeah, and really, only the Facebook ones are going to get to me.
Oh.
But that's all right. You can try the Luke.Holt@DocMediaClub.com.
DocMediaClub.com. Alrighty.
I've got my inbox open here.
So I've just sent you the little link, and so that's in your inbox. But while that's coming, it's so easy to program this. Right. So I'm going to, if you're listening and you want to see this exactly, it's on unpopular.education as a website, but I'm going to show Luke because it's so simple. I'm going to go create workflow. And when you're in workflow, there's two screens. There's the right-hand screen, which is where the program is written, and the left-hand screen is all the things you can drag and drop into the program. So I'm going to grab recording. So just in the search box, I'll type in record audio, click and drag, hold that over. There's some quality level settings there. I'm going to leave that as it is. Then I'm going to go Dropbox, and I go save Dropbox, and I drag drop that over. So the workflow title comes from saying, do this thing, then do this thing, then do this thing, and onward. So I'm going to record audio. Then the next step is save to Dropbox. And then I'm going to do one more. And I'm going to go get Dropbox. And apparently I can't type. Get Dropbox link. And drag and drop that over. And I've just made a program. And if I go play, it's the program I just showed you. And tap to start recording. Tap to finish recording. It uploads it to Dropbox. And because I'm doing this on a podcast, I haven't got too nerdy, but you can sell it to save to a particular place. In this version, it's asking for a folder. And then at the end, you get a little short URL, and you can drop that wherever you want.
Let's listen to your voicemail. I've got it here in front of me. Let's open it up. It's going to my Dropbox browser. It's thinking, which is my computer, not anything else. Here it comes. And
I start recording, and I'm currently recording a little voice memo. I can talk as long as I want. So now sending a voicemail might seem like something you haven't thought about doing. So I'm not saying, hey, guys, get workflow to send voicemails. No. That's one implementation I thought of for using workflow, and there's hundreds online.
Yeah. Does it connect API, and this is techie nerdy with that maybe everyone's into, I'm not sure, but API with programs like Salesforce or...
I can't talk for Salesforce. It does connect to many things. So it connects to IFTTT, so IFTTT.com. So you can say, do this, do this, do this, then send it to IFTTT. So you might say, grab an image and grab a caption and then grab something else and maybe grab a date or I don't know, whatever it is. And then send that to IFTTT so I can Facebook it.
Yeah.
It's good for Instagram posting. It also does things like creating GIFs or making GIFs into movies or making movies into GIFs. The best way to explore workflow is to, if you buy the app and there's the two tabs at the top, one is My Workflows, which, guess what's there?
My workflows.
The other one is Gallery. And so this is it's a built-in gallery to workflow, these are workflows that the gallery developers have decided we should feature these ones.
Yep.
If you go online, there's an even greater community. There's a website called workflow.is, and there's thousands of workflows on there. And just to give you an example of some of the things that are featured in there, there's the home ETA that I featured before, where you can send your favorite person a text message saying, hey, honey, I'm 28 minutes from home. I use a few workflows to download a zip on my iPhone, because downloading a zip on your iPhone, really hard.
Yeah.
Download a zip, unzip it to a Dropbox folder.
Boom. Yeah, of course.
Things like calculating tips, making PDFs. So printing a PDF from your phone and then emailing it, really hard to do. So workflow is a really good middleman or middle woman.
middle person
For connecting things on your phone. And if you're dedicated to trying to use your phone more for these tasks, workflow is a really good connector.
So the thing that with something like this that works for me is because I know I need automation because I otherwise I'm not consistent. So yep. I create a lot of automation tools. But with this in particular, one of my greatest challenges is if I'm on the fly and I have to remember, or I'm going, oh, I'll get around to that when I get home or whatever yep. it might be, then I notoriously forget a lot of simple but important things. So anything, any tool and resource that I can have at my fingertips, which makes a lot of that process quick and easy, and apps is a great way to do it. So I use Salesforce in my business, and sure. then it has the Salesforce app, which means that I can get stuff done very quickly and I have to sit in front of my laptop or the desktop at the studio. So I can't wait to hook into what other options there are on this. Workflow.
The app is it's a W, like a digital looking yeah. W on the App Store.
What
and
I'm going to
do, $5
I'm going to create a workflow where I can, you know what I'm going to do?
Tell me.
There's a friend of mine who I went over to Vietnam with. And it was with a group of people, and we're on this trip, and I'd taken a photo of some, like, there was three people on a moped, but carrying like this great big pane of glass.
Okay.
Like, so the passenger, the one at the back,
the kind of one that would get shared around on Facebook.
Yeah, it's just, and it was just ridiculous. So, but I was sending it to one of the other colleagues, but my phone had the wrong name on the wrong number. And so I typed in the name of Linda and it sent it to somebody else called Heath. And so he, with no context, gets this random picture of someone on a moped in Vietnam. And he's like, why did you send me that? And it became this, I'll leave the story short, but it became this little thing that we kept sending this same picture back and forth to each other. Like, so that was like 3 years ago. And to the point where we've incorporated third parties, we've got other people to send it on our behalf. So I had someone go, oh, you know, this is the thing for your show, the content. Let me know if it works or if it doesn't work, open it up. And there's...
That's great. It's kind of your version of a Rickroll.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, that's exactly what it is. So now I can set up a workflow to automate to just send this photo to him randomly at different times. I can't wait to...
Exactly.
And Heath will love it.
So workflow has simple things, like we've done two or three really simple ones, but you can get really nerdy. Like I'm just going through even the gallery. So this doesn't require any actual work on your behalf. You can download this and boom, it's there.
Yeah.
You can do one that'll look at your calendar for the next week and tell you all the available slots you've got.
Yeah.
So it just say if you text me and say, hey Josh, when are you free? I'm like, workflow, boom.
Yeah.
Send your text message with all the available slots I've got. So
this is what you did a Facebook post on recently where something added to your calendar, like a booking came through, paid and it automated through to your calendar to booking or something. That was
I was using Calendly for that.
Yes, which is a great tool.
Yeah, Calendly is great. Although actually, to be honest with you, I'm trying to think which one you're talking about, because I use Calendly a lot, which I'm starting to use more for paid things, because you can hook up paid parts of Calendly, which is kind of cool. But I also use Zapier. So when someone fills out a booking form on my website, Zapier is the middleman that connects it to my Google Calendar. And so, you know, workflow is kind of like Zapier for your phone.
Yeah. And all these tools I find just amazing. So Calendly I've used as a radio guy, because so often we're trying to set up an interview with someone in a different time zone. Oh my gosh, it can take you weeks to backwards and forwards when you're in different time zones. Instead, I just send them the link to Calendly and say, you pick a time which works for you. And if it's free, then I'm free. And it's just made booking people and conversations so much easier.
Love it. All righty. Luke, thanks for joining me on the Unpopular Show. Give yourself any like link shady kind of like where people can get things from you, social, podcast, website.
So the Luke and Susie podcast is at lukeandsusie.com. The Learn Radio podcast, if you want to explore this world of media, learnradio.com.au, or you can connect with the Connection Marketing podcast, which is at connectionmarketing.club.com. Connection Marketing is a dormant URL that I couldn't purchase. So, but that's all the free shows.
There was a domain name. I can't share the domain name. Oh, my book on me. I can't even speak. There was a domain. Oh, my Lord. There was a domain name. I'm going to leave this in because it's hilarious. Domain name that I wanted to buy last week, and it was expiring and it had been dead for a while. Yeah. I'm like, I want that baby. Yeah. And I had it in my calendar. And when the clock clicked over to the time, it wasn't available. So I try every 20, 30 minutes. I'm just trying to buy it. Not available. And then I visit the website again. some of the guys got it.
Oh,
man.
No.
The worst thing.
It's kind of like the early days of trying to buy off eBay.
Yeah.
And my sister made a career out of sitting there. And what did they call it? That where you wouldn't bid, so because you didn't want to put your bid in early because everybody else would go above you, but you'd wait to like try and get it with a second.
Yeah, sniping.
Sniping.
Yeah.
She used to snipe like you would. And I'm
pro
like.
Pro sniper.
It was so vicious. I went, I cannot snipe on eBay. I don't have the nerves for it.
I didn't think anyone would even want this domain name. Like it's a brand that we're going to be launching in a few months. I thought no one's thought of this. Yeah. Someone had thought of this.
So instead of Married by Josh, it was Stripping by Josh.
Yeah, you know, got to diversify because I'm not diversified. If only because there's no market for it.
I mean, you can cut this out of your podcast if you want. But
I'm going to cut it right now, so everyone's just on edge. Like, what happened? What was the story?
I like telling stories. There was a friend of mine, and it was shocking, and I didn't like it. But we had a party for somebody where my friends decided it would be a great idea to purchase a Fatagram.
Oh gosh.
And they told me about it, but I knew it was kind of going to be not great. But I was...
So you went in there with low expectations. Like,
but I was innocent.
I was pleasantly surprised.
I was innocent. I didn't...
It was actually really good.
I didn't... I'm going to sound really weird here. I didn't realise it was still a stripper.
Like, you think she was going to come in and take you through the timetables?
Rather than in my head it being... A Fatagram was like a strippergram. I had it like a Fatagram was like a gorillagram. See, two different agrams on different scales of the agram equation. And I just was innocent. I just never.
So
and so I sat there at the party because I chipped $20 in and I didn't know what I was chipping $20 in. And so I was sitting there going, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. And it was, and everyone got into a lot of trouble for it. But someone was, they were talking about how much it cost. And they were saying, like, it was really expensive. And I went, well, it depends on how you look at it. Perspective is everything, right? Because if you look at it based on this one thing for this one party, then, yeah, sure, it might be expensive. But if you calculate it per kilo...
Oh, gosh.
It was very cost-effective.
It was very cost-effective. Luke, thank you so much for joining me. You're amazing.
Was that worth it? It wasn't worth it, right?
No, I'll leave it. I'll keep that there. The world needs to hear it.
Thanks, Josh.